Our Hebrew Bible lesson is from Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. If you're following in the Pew Bible, it's on page 29. If you're following in the large print Bible, it's on page 37. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll turn in your hymnal to page 749, we'll read responsively Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. From you let my vindication come. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, concerning what others do, I have avoided the ways of the violent by following your word. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. For me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding your presence.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It can be found on page 148 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. If you're using the larger print edition, it's on page 193. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We We'd ask you to rise as you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. As you're raising up, please turn to the New Testament. In your pew Bible, you'll find this reading on page 15. If you're reading the large print edition, you'll find it on page 19 of the New Testament. This is one of those times the lectionary drops us right in, and unless you understand the context, it doesn't make sense. And the context of this reading is this. Jesus has just found out that his cousin, who we know as John the Baptist, has just been murdered. He's been killed. Hear these words. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven. He blessed them and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I want you to think about the incarnation. That is the fact that God voluntarily took human form and came to earth in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was fully divine and fully human. Think about that. He was 100% human, Homo sapiens, just like you and me, and he is 100% God. The incarnation means that Jesus lived our human life. He experienced our human birth. He grew up and learned and prayed and played and laughed and loved and went through all of the life experiences that you and I have experienced. And most importantly, he died our human death through torture and humiliation and crucifixion in order that you and I might be saved forever from the power of sin and death. And we got some oxygen work going on here in the second row. But because of that death and resurrection, we can thank sweet Jesus. I'm going to ask you a favor, and for yourself as well. Open your hand in front of you. I'm not going to lead you astray. You can trust me. Open your hand and take a long, hard look at that hand. And now I want you to look around at the person sitting near you, next to you, if that works, and recognize in them and in yourself, your very basic humanity. Flesh and bones and blood and guts and all that messy human biology. You are fully human, and we pray a bit divine as well. And now I'm going to ask you again to humor me on this one. I want you to reach somehow around and take the hand of someone sitting next to you. Take their hand as if you were going to walk together down the beach, or perhaps you were going to pray together in a circle. And if you're in the middle, two is good. That's great. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I promise you that if you close your eyes, your handmate won't poke you or tickle you. Okay, so hold that hand and close your eyes until I tell you otherwise. Hold that hand and imagine. This is what it feels like to hold the hand of Jesus. Perhaps Jesus' hand would be a bit rougher. He was a carpenter, after all. Maybe it would be more like holding hands with Mark Doctor or Melba Taylor, folks who use their hands hard in honest work. As you hold that wonderful hand, you may notice the warmth of their skin. You may even be able to feel their pulse and the glorious human life within. This is what it feels like to hold the sacred and beautiful and grace-filled hand of Jesus the Christ. Take a deep breath and open your eyes slowly and gently. And you can let go. Let us think a bit more about what that means to be human. I want you to consider what we human beings need in order to be alive. Throughout all time, across all nations and cultures and languages, what are those things that people need in order to be alive? Now, we could certainly argue this back and forth. I'm sure Kevin Condon will argue with me on this one. But let me suggest that human beings need four things to be alive: oxygen, food and water, other people, and God. Would you accept that list just for the sake of discussion? Oxygen, food and water, other people, God. And Kevin's given me the thumbs up, so I guess we can proceed. Now, it's probably pretty obvious that a person can't live very long at all without air to breathe. Bill Mitchell's going to stand up and demonstrate by holding his breath. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, water and food keep the body fueled. Based on my experience, most of us get pretty cranky if we haven't had a drink of water or something to eat for 4 or 5 hours. And at the very basic level, I believe we are social animals. That is, we need our families and our friends and our society to live a healthy life. We need to love and to be loved and to care for those we love. When these basic biological needs are met, a person starts thinking about the origin and the meaning of human life. What is the point of living, after all? Philosophers and theologians have long identified that people have a yearning to know God. It's like an itch that can't be scratched, a dream that you can't quite remember, a long-lost love, or a love that you have never fully known, a hunger, a thirst, that one thing that will make your life complete. Human beings have a deep and primal need to know God. In their search for meaning and purpose, in their quest to love and to be loved, some people don't turn to God, but rather they find other ways to mask or dull this yearning. The pursuit of money and career, alcohol, drugs, sex, endless busyness, material possessions, pornography, the internet, the list is nearly endless. But each of us at our core have this longing, this yearning to make our lives complete, this desire for ultimate fulfillment, this need to be filled. Jesus Christ meets people right where they are. In the midst of this longing and yearning and desire for love. And Jesus offers you exactly what you need in order to find the true and meaningful and purposeful life, this life with God. I want you to think closely about the gospel story from Matthew that we just read. It's known as Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus encountered the people right where they were, in the messiness and confusion of human existence. And he met their needs through compassion and mercy and grace. Despite his own grief and heartache at the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist, Jesus responded with patience and compassion as he cured the sick people in that huge crowd. He listened and he prayed with them and he offered them the grace of God the Father. As followers together of Jesus Christ, we are also called to help him do the very same thing, to be with people, to listen and to pray and to offer the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. Think about those original 12 followers who were with him. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." I believe that Jesus is saying the same thing to each of us. You give them something to eat. I wonder if you sometimes forget all the blessings and the gifts that God has bestowed upon you, those gifts that you might use in order to meet the needs of those around you, to share the love of Christ. The disciples replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. Nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish? Indeed. Jesus can certainly take what we have and transform it into what is necessary to meet the needs of those who would seek him out, to the glory of God and the fulfillment of God's kingdom. This description of Jesus feeding the crowds sounds a lot like Holy Communion. And I'll bet you noticed that. And that was certainly Matthew's intent. In a few minutes, when you come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, I want you to think about Matthew's words, "All ate and were filled." Jesus Christ meets you exactly where you are, in the midst of your longing and yearning and desire for love. And Jesus offers you exactly what you need in order to find the true and meaningful and purposeful life, that is, the life with God. Blessed humanity and blessed divinity, holy incarnation. Lift up your right hand again and think once more about how it felt to touch the hand of Christ. Raise your first and second fingers and your thumb and point them upward. Let your ring finger and your pinky curl down into your palm. Those 3 fingers pointing skyward represent the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The 2 fingers in your palm represent the 2 natures of Christ, fully divine and fully human. Now, as you say in the name of the Father, touch your first 2 fingers to your forehead. As you say in the Son, to touch your fingers to the center of your chest. As you say in the Holy Spirit, touch your fingers first to your left shoulder and then to your right shoulder. Finally, as you say Amen, press your hands together in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.